Acts chapter 2, stand together with me if you would. And as we read from the Word of God, beginning in verse number 40, picking up on the end of Peter's sermon. Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse number 40. And with many other words, Peter testified and exhorted the people, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued in the apostles' doctrine, and in fellowship, and in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. Then fear came upon every man. And many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together, and they held all things in common. And they sold their possessions and their goods, and divided them among everyone as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Would you pray with me? Lord God, we just come to you this morning. We thank you, Father, for the sweet time of worship that we have already experienced in your presence as we have given you praise and honor and glory for the time that prepared us for that when we were in small group Bible study. We now come to that time, Lord, where we need for you to speak to us. We've done most of the talking today, Lord. Now we ask that your Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, would touch our hearts, would give us directions for our lives. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Before we turn to examine exactly what this passage of Scripture says, I have a story of an event that took place in my life this week. I was on the phone with a very dear friend of mine, and he and his family are attending an extremely large church right now. As a matter of fact, based on their website, they're having about 7,000 people a weekend attend services. And I was interested because this dear friend of mine, you know, he's somebody that's just close to my heart, and I was interested in the church he was attending. And so I went online to search out the church and to read some about it, and I had some questions about what was going on there because, I mean, this thing only started in the 1980s. And so from the 1980s with 29 people, they are now experiencing 7,000 people a weekend on their campus. Obviously, it seems that somebody is doing something right. So I went on their website and I looked at some things and I came away with some real questions. Their campus includes, based on what I understand, not only enormous buildings and the like, but over 100 acres of property that they have obtained. And so I called this dear friend of mine and we're talking and I told him, I said, you know, I said, I'm glad that you and your family are in church every week and I've listened to the pastor's sermons and I don't find that anything really in them that seems to me to be contrary to the Scripture, but I've got some questions for you. I said, 7,000 folks on a weekend come into this place. How many members does this church have? He said, well, you know, he said, I had to ask the same thing. He said, it has four. I said, it had four. He said, yeah. He said, the pastor, his brother, who's one of the pastors, and their mama and daddy, and his daddy's the guy that started the church. He said, actually, he said, if you go into it, he said, what it was, he said, they formed a corporation. He said, the pastor, the head pastor, is actually the president of the corporation. His mom is the treasurer. I began to feel just a little bit uneasy as I'm talking to this fella. And he said to me, he said, well, he said, what it amounts to, he said, just so you understand, he said, there's 7,000 people coming and attending the ministries that are involved in this church every weekend. He said, but the pastor and his mama and his daddy and his brother own everything. I said, really? I said, you mean to tell me that 7,000 people come and put money in the plate that the people that are totally in charge of are this man, his brother, his mom, and his daddy? There are that many idiots in your town? That's what I'm thinking. I didn't say that. He said, well, man, he said, you ought to see it. He said, and he started talking to me about the service of the worship itself. And I said to him, I said, well, in other words, what you're telling me is that you are going to this particular building owned by this family that they call a church where nobody is a member except for the pastor and his brother and his mom and his dad. And what you're going for is you like the powerful performance that's displayed there. He said, yeah. He said, but God's blessing it. I said, well, tell me, how is God blessing it? And he said, well, obviously God's blessing. There's 7,000 folks there every weekend. I said, in other words, you're telling me that the way that we judge how God blesses something is by the number of people that go along with it. That's what you're telling me. I said, I want you to stop for just a second. I said, this dear friend of mine, I said, I know that you believe the Bible is the Word of God, don't you? He said, I do, every word of it. I said, and I know that you believe that the only way that we can approach God is based on what the Bible tells us. He said, I agree with that. The only way that we can possibly grow as Christians is the way the Bible tells me. He said, I agree with that. I said, well, guess what else? I said, the Bible lays out what it means to be the body of Christ, what it means to be church. The Bible lays out for us a biblical pattern of how we are to follow the will of God to accomplish that. I said, now, I'm not saying that where you're going every week isn't a great ministry. I said, I'm further not saying that the preacher you're listening to is not preaching the Word of God. I said, but I will tell you this. There's no way that you can tell me that what you're involved in every weekend is called church from a Bible perspective. No way. I said, as a matter of fact, I said, I'd go a step further. I said, I want you to tell me the difference between what you're involved in, except for the fact that you say they're preaching the gospel, and we'll go along with that. We'll assume that for right now. I want you to tell me what is the difference between what you're involved in and a cult. Tell me the difference. There was dead silence on the other end of the phone. God lays out a biblical pattern for our salvation, our Christian growth. God lays out a biblical pattern for our spiritual continued renewal in this life. And we need renewal. Not just now, but on a constant basis. We are bombarded on every side with everything that happens in our families, everything that goes on health-wise, everything that goes on in our society and at business. We need renewal of the Spirit of God to guide our lives, to lead us, to direct us. We need a biblical pattern for family. We need a biblical pattern for church. We need a biblical pattern for following and experiencing Almighty God. And God gives that. On Sunday nights, we've been walking through the Old Testament prophetic book of Daniel. And I'm going to tell you, if you're not involved in that on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights, you are missing something that has been powerful. God has really been working in my life, in the life of our congregation, as we have opened God's Word. And right now, we are on the last couple of chapters of the book of Daniel. And there Daniel lays out before us what God showed him was going to take place in his future and includes our future. And one of the things that we learned just this last week as we were going through is, you know, there is a real spiritual battle going on in this world. Now, I know that you don't doubt that. I know that you see the battle between good and evil that is constantly played out on the television set in your living room. But the Bible gives us even more than a battle between good and evil. The Bible says that there are literally powerful spiritual beings that were created sometime before the creation of the world that are at war with one another, and the playing field or the battleground of their warfare is right here on planet Earth. And the book of Daniel lays that out for us. And the perspective it gives us is awesome. Listen, when you and I begin to think about such things, it can be overwhelming. When we think about the spiritual battle that we're involved in and we see it all around us, we can just be overwhelmed by that to the point that a lot of times our Christian life is not very attractive to other people around us. I asked my brother, what do you like about that church? He said, they're just having a great time. And I was reminded of this passage. Because you see, in the middle of the spiritual battle that we're all in, and we are all in a spiritual battle, we recognize that we're within a battle within our own hearts. I mean, just the struggle against sin and temptation that we have, man, that can bring you down. So we come for spiritual renewal. Our prayer closet, where we have communion with God, is hard work. As a matter of fact, last week I compared our relationship with God like our marriage. And every one of us that's been married any length of time knows what hard work that marriage and raising kids is. And what all's involved with it. And yet, there's this component that if we forget, we've missed the boat. The Bible says that we are given this picture of the early church for its emulation. That we're given this picture of what God's Spirit did with the early church so that we can know how it is that we are to be. And what it says is on that first day that Peter went out to preach, on that first Sunday, 3,000 got saved. Man, it was excitement. But it doesn't stop there. After it tells us that they were involved in the apostles' doctrine, the breaking of bread, which would have been the Lord's Supper and prayers and all that, then all of a sudden it gives us this summary of evidently what church was like for the first few years. Doesn't give us an exact length of time. But it evidently covered more than just a Sunday or two. And I want us to read it together one more time. It's just the last couple of verses of Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse number 40. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. The summary goes something like this. There is a component of spiritual renewal that it's easy for us to leave out. We talk about living holy lives. We talk about our prayer time. We talk about the spiritual battles that we're involved in. We talk about the fact that being with God is serious business. We don't need to forget this component. This is the other side of the coin, if you would. And let's be honest, it's easy to forget it. We can forget it in our earthly relationships with one another, with our wives or wives with their husbands and kids. We can get so enmeshed in living that we forget. And there's only two things here, and I want you to write both these down. First of all, what it says here, these guys enjoyed one another. They enjoyed each other. Do you know, and think about your marriage. Think about raising kids. And for some of us, that is right now. For some of us, that is something from your past, but I want you to think about it. Do you remember being so involved in business and just keeping the house up and keeping the yard and raising the kids and planning for the future that there would come times that you would realize that you just forgot to have any fun? I mean, what are you in this for anyway? Just to have a companion for old age and posterity for the future? Surely we get married for more than that. And yet, you know, I always love it when elderly people, a spouse has died and one of them they go and get married and you hear them say, well, I'm getting married just for companionship. Man, if I ever have to do that or my wife ever has to do that, I hope we do it because it's fun. If I need companionship, I'll buy a dog. I want to have fun. I want to enjoy somebody. I love my wife. I want to enjoy my wife. I want to enjoy my kids. It's not just about the hard work of being married and everything being right and the hard work of raising kids, straight kids in an X-rated world. It is about having fun, enjoying them. Sometimes we can get so focused on the spiritual warfare and all that's going on in our society and all that we need to do in our church and all that we need to do to reach people and this, that, and the other. Sometimes we can get so focused that we forget to have fun. The Holy Spirit inspired Luke, and what does he write? He said, after all these people got saved and they were in Bible studies and they were going from house to house and they were doing all, he says, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. The Chuck Everett paraphrase, they had fun. They enjoyed each other. That's part of spiritual renewal. Listen, if your whole focus is on the spiritual battle, if your whole focus is on my struggle with sin, if your whole focus is on I've got to get this right and I've got to work and I've got to make sure that I'm doing all, getting all my P's and Q's in order so I can have this right relationship with God, you can plain forget to have fun. So the Holy Spirit puts it in the Bible to remind us. And notice what, you know, 3,000 people got saved when Peter preached. But then it says, because all of the people are doing these things, yes, they're involved in the spiritual warfare. Yes, they're involved in the Bible studies. Yes, they're involved in worship and the Lord's Supper. But they had fun being together that it then says, not after the apostles' doctrine, not after the prayers, not after all that, after it says, and they had fun. They ate their bread with gladness and simplicity of heart. It makes another comment that we're going to look at in just a second. And then it says, and so the Lord was adding daily those who were being saved. This is about Bible study, but it's about more than Bible study. This is about prayer, but it's about more than prayer. This is about heartfelt worship, but it's about more than heartfelt worship. It's about enjoying each other and having fun together. And if we're not doing that, if you're not doing that, then you're missing a vital component that we all need for spiritual renewal. Have you ever been around a believer that is just so, I don't know, negative about everything? They're negative about their Sunday school. They're negative about this, and they're negative about their family, and they're negative about their wife, and they're negative about their kids, and they're negative about the worship. And I mean, just nothing in right in life, and you just don't want to be around them. Unless you're also one of those negative people, you eventually say, you know, I want to go where somebody's telling a joke. I want to go where somebody's laughing. Yeah, I know we've got all these problems, and I don't want to dismiss the problems, but I want to go where we're going to have some fun. Guess what? We're going to have fun tonight with our kids. Now, we're going to do Bible study at regular time at 6:30, and I want to tell you about that in just a little bit. But from 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock all tonight, all of our teen kids, our youth are going to be involved with them. They're going to do some bounce houses out front and just have a blast together. And some of them are going to need their parents to stay out there with them instead of coming in here with us. You know what? That's okay. I want these kids to grow up not only knowing the Bible, I want them to remember that when they came to church, they just had a blast. That's what I want them to remember about church. We learned the Bible, and it was fun. It was fun. Well, if we do that with the kids, why don't we do that with each other? Because there's so much bad in the world, and there's so many spiritual battles we're having to face, and there's so much that's going on, it's easy to forget that this is part of spiritual renewal. And so I'm coming with you this morning. I preached to you a lot of serious sermons this summer, and I've got a few more serious ones to go. But I couldn't wait till the end. I had to stop right now and say, you know, I got to remind you. You're supposed to be enjoying each other. It's almost the end of summer. Actually, I'm glad that y'all have had vacations. I'm glad for I'll be glad when school starts back just so everybody will be back, because I love seeing y'all. And I miss it when you're gone. I mean, somebody's gone a week or two, and I don't know if they're on vacation, sick or mad, you know? Or all three. I'm glad you're here. I love seeing you. Our kids are going to have a great time tonight. And I think us adults ought to have a great time too. So I tell you what, after church tonight, and this is not on me and it's not on the church, Dutch treat, why don't you come and join my family and all of us up at Sonic? Have you had one of their new pretzel dogs with cheese and bacon on it? That thing is to die for. And it will top off your Bible teaching tonight. It'll be like the climax of the event. I'd love for you to join my family. My mom and dad are in town. I'd love for you to get to know them a little bit. If you don't already know them, join our family tonight at Sonic right after church. After all those bouncy houses, take them out and get them something to eat. We're supposed to enjoy each other. The second thing that is there, and let's read it again because I want you to understand I'm not making this up. This is coming from the Bible. From the Bible. It is the pattern. Let's start at verse 40 again. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Second thing, did you notice? Not only did they enjoy each other, these people enjoyed God. Now that may seem strange. Of course they enjoyed God. We have this relationship with God. God saved me. I love God. I found in my walk that there are a whole lot of believers who never get to the point where they enjoy God. They're afraid of God. They respect God. They believe that God has given a bunch of rules that they're supposed to live by. They believe that only God can save them. They will trust God for that, but as far as really enjoying God or liking God or loving God, that is something beyond their capacity to understand. Let me ask you a question. In your Bible study, in your secret prayer time, In your time together with each other, how long has it been since you could actually say you enjoyed God? Could you ever say that? Have you ever even thought about that? Or is it that you're so afraid that God's got this list and that you're going to slip up and mess up? I mean, we've got to respect and reverence God. I've preached that 1,000 times. I'm not undoing 17 years of preaching today. What I've told you about spiritual renewal in the past few weeks has been right on the money and completely accurate and straight from the Word of God. But so is this. As surely as I am to reverence the name of God on one hand, as surely as I am to realize that God is God and I will never be God, that God is holy and I am just a sinner in need of salvation, as surely as I recognize and know all that, there is also this other side of the coin that says I'm just supposed to fall in love with Him. I'm just supposed to enjoy Him. And He's supposed to enjoy me. I've often said of me raising my kids that, especially as they're little and growing up, that I didn't care, especially as they became teenagers. I didn't care if they liked me. I didn't care if they loved me, but they were going to respect me. Hopefully, as they grow older and become a more mature adult, that changes. And there's a change that takes place because I'm no longer the rule giver. I'm no longer the one that is just in charge of their lives. Hopefully, I've given them enough of a foundation that one day we have this relationship where they just love me and they just enjoy me and I just enjoy them. We're supposed to enjoy one another, and we're supposed to enjoy God. And I'm afraid that life has gotten so tough for some of us that when we all come together, there's so much wrong in the world. There's so much wrong with our families. There's so much wrong in society. And it's such a spiritual battle. I'm afraid that we have forgotten how to enjoy each other and that we have also forgotten that other key component to spiritual growth. We have forgotten to enjoy God. So I want to challenge you today.